y'all like that? Wouldn't it be cool if we could just do an adult weekend just like that and start next Friday night, and then y'all get up here and hold you a sign up? What made the difference? Y'all ready to do it?
Yeah.
Y'all like, I'm not sure. I got news for you. If you could, amen, sister. I see that hand. The difference that just taking some time, getting in worship, being before Jesus, being still, and knowing he's God. We're going to take just a few minutes this morning. We're going to open up the Word. We're going to give you a briefing on a little bit of what we did this weekend. And then hopefully when we get finished, we'll leave this place ready to do exactly what most of those boards said, and that is to declare the truth that Jesus is enough for today, for tomorrow, and for all eternity. He's all we need. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And Father, as we begin this morning, just multiply our time here over the next few minutes and help us to see where you are and leave differently than we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Check this out. Justin called me several weeks ago. Oh, by the way, my name's David. There's a good-looking brunette over here to my left who's my wife. Her name is Carol. I rarely get to travel with her, and she came with me this weekend. It's been a joy. I went back to the house last night after we'd gone out to visit some of the homes, and as I went out into the night and came back around 12:30, I walked in, and my pants were sitting there. My shirt was ready to go. That doesn't happen when I travel by myself, so... Just knowing that she was there, she was thinking about me. I can look at her. She gives me directions. Let's just say that she takes care of me, okay? And having her with me this weekend was awesome. We have three beautiful children. We have a 12-year-old little girl named Gracie, who's not so little anymore. We have a 9-year-old boy named Zachariah and a 5-year-old named Daniel, and they keep us young. But I came over here after talking to Justin to lead Bible studies and to preach. And he says, man, we're going to do our D now on apologetics. I said, I ain't apologizing for nothing. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus and ain't going to apologize for nothing. Well, we know that apologetics is actually the defense of our faith, being able to stand. And as we looked at the, one of you fellas stand up here. Come up here. You right there in the middle. Now, I want you to stand. Just stand right here. Face that way. Don't turn around. You see this right here? This is our theme verse for the week. It's Philippians 1:20. It says, I'm fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold. Now, here's the deal. Y'all who are wearing these black shirts, if you decide to wear, don't turn around yet. If y'all decide to wear these church shirts to school and stuff, make sure that you know what Philippians 1:20 says, okay? On account that if you don't, somebody's going to say, what's Philippians 1:20 say? You're going to go, huh? What are you talking about? There's like on your back. But it says, I want to continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. Paul wrote those words to the church at Philippi. Now you can turn around. Isn't he good looking? Thank you for helping me out. Paul wrote those words and he said, I want to stay bold. Boldness isn't an easy thing. We also got to go see the God's Not Dead movie yesterday. Some of us did, and that was a great opportunity to see somebody stand and be bold. Boldness isn't easy. We're going to take a few minutes this morning to look in Acts chapter 3 and 4, and we're going to see about sharing our faith in the 21st century. You say, Brother David, how are you going to do that looking at Acts? That was a long time ago. Can I just tell you, the first night we got together, we talked about philosophy. We began to cover some things in philosophy and the classical philosophies of idealism, realism, and neo-Thomism. And then we talked about some modern philosophies of pragmatism and existentialism. And you said, do what? We thought this was a fun weekend for students. Here's the deal. Our school systems, our culture, they are indoctrinating students on critical thinking to arrive at a truth or what is right morally, or how to determine their values based on a postmodern philosophy. And unless we look back at where we came from and look forward to where we're headed as it relates to the brain and how we think and determine what's right, what's good, what's beautiful, those kinds of things, those philosophical life questions, then we cheated our students by watering it down and having a pep rally every time we come to church. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. He said that of Himself in John 14:6. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Here's the deal. We don't have to determine truth for ourselves because truth has already been determined. Understand, you don't determine truth for yourself. Truth just is. I happen to believe there's absolute truth. Postmoderns would say there's no such thing as absolute truth. And I ask, are you absolutely sure? Let that sink in. Some of y'all get out of that after lunch. They'll say, yeah, I'm absolutely sure. Well, that's an absolute truth. You've already contradicted yourself. We've got us a problem. We had to back up to go forward with our students. We had to equip them with some stuff. So we talked about philosophy. Y'all will have to admit, that was a pretty, some of these guys described it. That was intense. But where we ended up was Jesus fulfills all of the philosophical questions we may need to ask. But defending our faith and our culture is a little different story. It's our point of view. It's where people begin. It's our life experiences, our upbringing, the things that happen to us and around us that form our worldview and our thoughts. And the thing is when we go out into the world, we begin to share the gospel with people who become hostile. It may not be because they just hate God and hate Jesus and hate you. Something bad may have happened to them. And we ought not presume to know too much. We ought to just presume to love them like Jesus did. Present the love of God to them. Now, there's some folks who are hostile, and they don't like you, and they don't like Jesus, and they don't like anything about the church. And for those folks, it's all right to put your armor on and fight a little bit. But be sure you're prepared. So we covered those things. But it's about point of view. I'm going to show y'all a couple pictures real quick. The kids have already seen these. Y'all watch and see if what I told you is not true Friday night. It's because you've seen these pictures, you will see exactly what's going on immediately. They mean something different to you. We're going to change the point of view. We'll see what happens. Here's what we started with on Friday night. Y'all ready? Here we go. No, we're not? There you go. Don't you love horses? We got a lot of places. I come down here, we're driving in. Say, Carol, look yonder. There's a horse farm. Beautiful horses out in the field. That is a horse, right? Is it a horse? Or perhaps it's a frog. You turn it sideways, you see his nose out there on the end, his legs at the back. Isn't that funny? Just how you look at it. Cool, huh? Next. Wow, what's this gal doing? She got ready for church this morning. Everything's good, looking great. She's here. I'm not sure what we're looking at, but if we look a little closer, what do we see? Oh, there she is again. But is she really? It's all a point of view, isn't it? You turn the picture upside down, it's something totally different. Let's say a little bit more. Is that what did I say the other night? Is that a foss and two faces or a vase and two fosses? Yeah. It's a vase. No, it's two faces. No, what is it? A vase? I don't know. It all depends on how you look at it, right? It's a point of view. We got one more? This is the one that just got me recently. Have y'all ever seen the arrow in that FedEx logo? If you do, show it right there. Guess what? If you've never seen it before, you'll never see FedEx drive by again and not see it. I just changed your view. FedEx drives by, you go, see that arrow? That's what I learned in church. It's how we look at things. Now, if you'll join me over there in Acts chapter 3, we're going to catch up with Peter and John. Peter and John are coming into Jerusalem there. They're going to run into a guy. They're coming in, and they're doing what they're doing, and they're going to perform a healing. And the guy's asking for money. Y'all are familiar with this story in Acts chapter 3. Then we're going to go straight to Acts chapter 4. But Paul and John say, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we'll give you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He said, we don't have any money. We don't have any goods. We don't have any stuff, but we have Jesus. So why don't you just get up and walk? The paralyzed lame man gets up and he begins to walk around. And we remember the story, walking and leaping and praising God. He goes and tells. Everybody realizes that something's happened. Well, this draws the attention of the religious leaders of the day. And then we'll catch up in chapter 4 where the Sadducees are coming to Peter and John and they've brought them in. Now, I tell you why they were where they are because understand, before this is over with, what gets them in trouble is the name of Jesus. When you're going out into the 21st century to share your faith, you're going to run into three things. You're going to run into moral relativism. Now you say, I didn't come here this morning to listen to a bunch of isms. Well, endure with me for just a second. Moral relativism says that everything's relative when it comes to morals, and I can make up my own mind what I want to do. I can decide what's right for me, and just because it's not right for you doesn't mean you can tell me it's not right for me. Because you know what? You don't know me, and it's not your business, and you can't tell me what to do, because ultimately I'm my own authority. So my morality is relative to what I think is right and good, and you can't say anything about it. That's one of the first things you'll run into when you go out here to share your faith, and that is, how do you know that Jesus is the only way? And just because Jesus is the only way for you, he may not be the only way for me. Then we run into not just moral relativism, but religious pluralism. And religious pluralism would say this, that Jesus and God and Allah and Buddha and all of the different New Age religions and postmodern thinking, even yourself, they're all equally as likely to be authority on God. So here's the deal. It really doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. So I can make up my own idea about what's right and what's wrong, and then I can even go so far as to say it doesn't matter what you believe or how you believe, as long as you believe something, because every religion is as equally right as the other. And because you can't tell me there's an absolute truth, you can't tell me that I'm wrong. And then we're going to back that up on the 21st century landscape of sharing your faith with a new thing called tolerance. And can I share something with you? Nothing's changed from Acts chapter 4 to the 21st century when it comes to tolerance. Because what Peter and John did is they came into town and they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, your culture is very tolerant of everything religious except Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That's right. They say you can pray in Allah, you can pray to God, you can pray to the creator of the universe, but don't you use that name. Shared with y'all last year that I had a heart transplant in 2007. I was invited to speak at the organ donor family Sabbath. The donor family that was going to present before me was a Jewish family. That's not Christian, right? They're still looking for the Messiah. They are all about the Old Testament, but Jesus, he wasn't the Savior. So the lady that was coordinated, she came to me because, see, they knew me. They knew what I was about to do if they let me get up there and talk. They knew what I was going to do when I prayed. And she says, Dave, can you do us a favor today? And I said, what is that? She says, can you not pray in Jesus' name? Man. I said, ain't no way. How else can I pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I could do that, right? Everybody'd say it with me. That wasn't, by the way, the Lord's Prayer. That was a model prayer. He said, pray like this. So I was confronted with a crisis of belief. Am I going to embrace who Jesus is to me and go ahead and do it anyway? And go, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. Or was I going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me in a direction to maximize the moment? I looked at the lady and I said, ma'am, I'll accommodate. Y'all like, thought this weekend was about stands. You just showed our kids how to bow down. Let me share something with y'all. I prayed and I lifted up what Jesus has done in my life. I didn't say in Jesus' name out of respect for those people. And then for the next 25 minutes when they let me do my Sabbath preaching, I lifted up that Jesus was firmly, God was firmly acquainted with the donor family. He knows what it's like to lose a kid to save somebody. And they all started looking at me. I got back to my seat and sat down, and my wife looked at me and said, they'd have been better off just to let you pray in Jesus' name. Let me share something with y'all this morning. In a landscape that has moral relativism, religious pluralism, and tolerance, you better be as wise as serpent and gentle as doves. And when the door of opportunity opens up, don't be one of those folks who says, you know what, I'm going to stand and my goal is to beat you and show you that this is right. Uh-uh. That's not what we're about to see. These guys come in, they've healed this this man, and they come into the Sanhedrin. Now watch this. Holy cow, I've been up too long. If I'm reading it off the computer or something, I can see, but when I get this, let's watch here what happens. We're going to look in Acts 4, verse 5. It came to pass on the next day. This is the day after they had healed this guy, and they preached in Solomon's portico. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that's John and Peter, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that these men had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who they healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Watch what happened here. The Sanhedrin bring them in and they say, by what name did you heal this guy? You understand what the problem was, don't you? It wasn't that the guy got healed. It wasn't that Peter and John were in town broke and didn't have no money. It wasn't the fact that the people really got stirred up and got upset. And that it wasn't about the preaching in Solomon's portico. He said, how did you heal this man? He says, if y'all want to know, we'll just tell you. It's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man stands before you. There is no other name under heaven which by men must be saved but the name of Jesus. Just in case y'all missed it. So Peter takes a stand. Now can I share something with y'all when it comes to standing? You young people are going to go out to your schools. We talked about this the other night. Tomorrow's going to come. The bell's going to ring. School's going to start. You're going to have a moment of decision. The Sadducees looked at Peter and John and they said, how'd y'all do this? They could have chosen a number of different ways to answer, but they chose Jesus. Now, I want you to understand something. Just like those pictures, if you'd seen those pictures before, then you knew what was coming and you were looking at that picture differently because you had been there before. If you'd never seen them before, you'll never see the picture the same way. Because can I tell y'all something this morning? When you've been with Jesus, you don't see the world the same way ever again. And if you see the world the same way you did before, can I share something with you this morning? You've never been with Jesus. It says that they realized that these were ordinary men. Uneducated men. But they marveled because of what? Y'all catch what he said? They had been with Jesus. Can I tell y'all something this morning? Apologetic, sharing your faith, defending your faith. I told the teenagers last night, your faith don't need defending. It's the only true one there is. Your God don't need defending either because he's the king of the universe. He's Lord of lords. He's over it all. He don't need you to defend him. Your defense of your faith is not about making sure that God's okay. Your defense of your faith is about all of the other people around you that need the opportunity to be able to make a decision to what? Declare the name of Jesus. To choose to follow him or not. They had a choice. Peter had a choice. He could stand or he could have bowed. And he said, I'm going to stand in case y'all want to know. It's about Jesus. Now, if we keep reading, what we find out is those Sadducees said, hey, guys, look. We can't stand against this. There's nothing we can do. But we want you to just stop preaching and praying in that name. Would you? Would y'all do that? Y'all know what happened, right? They said, hey, we can do a lot of things. But what would be better for us to do today? To be obedient to God or to be obedient to men? Brother Sadducee, if you let me out of here, as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to start talking about Jesus. So you got to make a decision on your own today. What you going to do with me? Let me share something with y'all. When you go out into the 21st century landscape to share your faith, expect lost people to behave like lost people. We were talking about some things yesterday, and the interesting thing is and I want to be honest with y'all, I don't know that I'll be able to be back this direction again before Jesus comes back, and I would feel remiss if I didn't tell you that same Jesus who by the name of Jesus with power and authority and healing a lame man stood up, that same Jesus is in the business of reclaiming and cleaning up lives today. He's all you need. Can I share something with you? You go out to share your faith. You begin to talk to people. If you engage them in a debate about their beliefs, you're probably going to make them mad. You're going to offend them because they're easily offended. They're already nervous. But if you go out into the world and you share with them the love of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whew. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you lift up my name, they'll come running. See what we're doing here this morning? They're sitting about you, youth pastor Justin. I love him. I've known him before. Well, I've known him a long time. It's not about Justin. It's not about all these black shirts. It's not about our teenagers. Brother Craig has been so gracious as to let me preach this morning, and I know what it means to a Southern Baptist preacher to be able to preach on Sunday morning. Thank you, brother. But it ain't about him. Hey, can I tell y'all something this morning? It ain't about you. It's about that name. It's about that man. It's about that cross. It's about that empty tomb. It's about that promise. He said he's coming back. Hey, let me tell you something. On that day, every atheist and agnostic, come on now, I heard you. What you'd say, whoo, like that to a Baptist preacher, like saying, sick him to a bulldog. Watch here. He said he's coming back. And on that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. So can I ask you a question today? Same thing I asked the teenagers. I said, you know, you're not going to have a Christian worldview. You're not going to have a faith to defend if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. See, the Sadducees were the religious elite of the day. They were Jewish leaders. They went to church, temple. They worshiped God. They thought they had it together, but they hadn't been with Jesus. I told your teenagers this week, I said, if you want to know the number one best way to defend your faith is to leave this place and live a life that does not deny the power of Jesus Christ in you. Can I share something with you today? Have you been with Jesus? Because you know, as much as you hold a sign up here and say, before this weekend I was like this, but after this weekend I was like this, I thought to myself last night, see, we didn't do cardboard testimonies when I was in youth ministry. That's a really cool new thing they do. So I looked at Justin, I said, I never done one before. Started to get me a piece of cardboard and just start putting on it. And I thought to myself, what would I put? Because it's not about a weekend. It's not about a church service. It's not about an event. It's about a man named Jesus. And what would I be like before that? I'd have to hold a sign up here and say, slave. Slave to what? Slave to sin. Slave to my emotions. Slave to my circumstances. Slave to the bad things that the enemy teaches me and tells me that ain't nobody ever come. And I turn it over and it had to say, freedom! Free from sin, Free from death, hell, and the grave. Free to live in Christ. Have you been with Jesus? Have you hung out with him? Come on. Yes. Hey, and a child shall lead them. We are free in Christ. Those who the Son has set free are free indeed. And when you walk out those doors into a culture that doesn't know what the truth is and they're making it up for themselves and they say everybody's got to be right, you can know one thing for a fact, that when you lay your head on your pillow at night and you speak the name of Jesus, he says, I hear you. Hey, he's alive. And he's coming back. Have you been with him? Let me tell you something. If you're here this morning and you're struggling, you say, hey, I want to share my faith, but Brother David, I've denied the power of Jesus in my life. Come to Jesus. You teenagers, you know where I'm headed, right? We're going to come to Jesus and live. And then the last thing is going to be, don't just sit there, do something. Hey, if you're struggling in your life, if things aren't coming together, if it's financial, if it's family. We went and watched that movie yesterday, y'all, and I got to tell you, the biggest reaction that your students had to the things that happened in that movie were all relational. It was a mom and a daddy. It was a brother and a sister. It was when relationships broke that the teenagers were, why is that? You were made for relationships. It might be financial, it might be family, it might be relational, it might be whatever. Can I tell you, Jesus is enough. Those fellas said, hey, you turn us out of here? We're just going to declare the name of Jesus. Because it's by the name of Jesus that there was healing. It's by the name of Jesus that there was restoration. So what is it that we're defending? Oh, we're defending the truth. That's true. But why? So people can make a decision to follow Jesus. I want to challenge you as adults this morning. God's doing something with your young people. He's doing something in your community. God's using Justin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's using Wildwood First Baptist Church. He's using many of y'all. I got to hang out with your host homes. What kind of folks were those to just open up the house and let teenagers come in? Y'all must be a little crazy. You got to be a little crazy to do this. Something's up. They need you. You need the church family to continue to lift up and support and encourage. And can I tell y'all something? The best way you can do that is when these teenagers look at you, adults, they need to be able to say, wow, they've been with Jesus. I can tell they've been with Jesus. The things that come out your mouth, the actions that you have, they ought to be able to look at you and say they've been with Jesus. And then you will empower them that when they're challenged on their campuses, when they're challenged when they leave high school and go to college, and you will be challenged. You will be challenged. When they do, they'll remember those adults who stood behind them. So, adults, here's the deal. When have you been with Jesus lately? Do you need to come to him for the first time? Do you need to come back to him and let him heal you and restore you? Do you need to just say this? I'm all in for Jesus. And if on the way I encourage these teenagers, that's where I want to be. But I'm all in. I'm going to surrender. I'd hope there'd be some relational, intergenerational relationships like you talking about, Justin, where some adults in here start challenging the students on how many people they've shared the gospel with. And the teenagers can look back at y'all and you can tell them about when you shared your faith last. That would be cool. That's what it's about. Working together to lift up the name of Jesus. I want to thank y'all for letting me come. But what good would it be if at the end of a weekend that made a difference in your students' lives, you didn't respond to that man Jesus in some way? And can I just tell y'all something? I think that coming to church every Sunday, because that's what we're supposed to do, is the worst reason in the world to come. I think coming to church on Sunday morning because that's what good people do, that's the worst reason in the world to come. I think that the best reason in the world to come is so that we can be around other believers and lift up the name above all name, the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Jesus. And so I can come up here on Sunday morning if I need to and unload my basket and let Jesus fill me up. I believe y'all need that. I believe I need it. So in just a few minutes, Brother Craig's going to come up here. These musicians are going to come up here and by a few minutes, I mean right now. And this is going to be our invitation time. Brother Craig's going to come. He's going to receive y'all. Again, brother, I thank you for the opportunity. But y'all think about Peter and John. They looked at that fella in that gate. And they said, we don't have anything to offer you but Jesus. But we're going to give it to you. And he got up and he walked off. That name of Jesus got so much attention that they were asked, by how and what name did you do this? And they said, by Jesus' name. If you want to know. They said, we're going to have to turn y'all loose, but could you stop doing what you're doing in that name? Can I tell you that name's a beautiful name? Circumstances fade away. The very power of hell, demons, come to attention at that name. Broken things are restored. One of my favorite cardboard testimonies is broken. And what Jesus did in restoring. That's what my Jesus does. He puts broken things back together again. He brings restoration. And guys, can I tell you what? When you go out to defend your faith, you realize it's not about winning an argument. It's not about being really cool and answering hard questions. It's about one thing, and that is presenting Jesus in such a way that your friends and family have a chance to make a decision about who he is. And that's where we are. We're at a moment of decision. What are y'all going to do this morning? You going to sit there and call it a good Sunday morning? You're going to race out of here and beat the Methodist to the buffet? What are you going to do with him? You going to let him be the Lord of your life, or is it just going to be Jesus in my pocket that I pull out when I'm in trouble? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. And now's the time. I'm going to pray for us in just a second. Brother Craig's going to come up here. And he's going to lead us the direction that the Lord leads him. But I was so excited about this weekend to have the opportunity. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Do what you're going to do for Jesus today. Father God, we thank you for your love and your grace. We ask, Lord, that you would do the work and the business that you do in the hearts and lives of people. That, Father, we would remember James and or John and Peter and the ministry that they had there, Father. As they healed somebody, they gave restoration in Jesus' name. Then they were called to stand. Father, let us stand. Let us stand to be bold, to share the love of Jesus. To be bold enough, Father, as believers, to surrender everything to you. Father, give us strength because we need it right now. In Jesus' name, amen.